Vanity Fair reports former President Barack Obama has been working as a podcaster, a Netflix producer, an outdoor documentary filmmaker, and of course an author since leaving the White House 8 years ago. However, a recent unannounced trip to Downing Street to supposedly have tea with British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has caused speculation on just how involved the former president is with the current president's domestic and foreign policy. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we're going to discuss if this first term of the Biden administration is really the third term of Barack Obama. Let's get started. I think it's safe to say, regardless of which side of the aisle you identify with, that the re-election of Joe Biden is not going as easy as Democrats were hoping. Even though we still have several months to get through until Election Day, a clear sign that Democrats are starting to panic is the emergence of former presidents on the campaign trail. Now, most recently, President Biden, along with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and former President Barack Obama, released a video celebrating the 14th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act, an act which at the time was so unpopular, Republicans believe it was the main motivation for Democrats losing control of Congress in 2010 and even the White House in 2016. But regardless, this gave former President Barack Obama the chance to publicly show his face, even though, according to the Republican presidential nominee, Donald Trump, Biden isn't smart enough to be doing this stuff on his own. In fact, Trump is insistent Biden is nothing more than a puppet and is Barack Obama's operation.
Obama has plenty to do with it. I call him Biden's boss.
It's Trump's belief another global conflict, like the ones now occurring in Ukraine, Israel, and Gaza, could soon erupt. Now, President Barack Obama has only twice visited the White House this year and supposedly warned presidential candidate Biden he could lose the White House unless he worked more on the infrastructure involved in the campaign. But besides the Affordable Health Care Act anniversary, there has been no official policy which has been attributed to Obama's involvement. However, what is being termed as an informal courtesy drop in by Obama with the Prime Minister of the UK, with very little being made public about what was actually discussed, is only adding fuel that Obama is heavily involved in not only domestic policy, but international as well. Let's discuss this with our panel, Steve Malzberg, political commentator, talk radio host Chris Widener, founder of Red Referral Network, and Desi K. Robinson, health professor and doula. Thank you so much for joining us. Desi, I'm going to start with you. Is Barack Obama still the king of the Democratic Party?
Well, we had a war to make sure that we didn't have any kings in this country. So I would say no. I would say that he is still a very beloved figure amongst Democrats and still very well respected. But king, no.
King, okay. Well, they called Trump the king of the Republican Party. So I was going to do a fair and balanced, equal opportunity. But I've got to ask you, Chris, do you agree with that? Do you feel like that if you were to look at Joe Biden, who is the current sitting president, versus Barack Obama, who's more popular with the people?
Well, I think popularity is obviously Barack Obama because he's still wildly popular amongst the Democrats, and Joe Biden, not so much. But I would disagree that he's not still in charge of the Democrat Party. You know, I wrote one of my 24 books is a book called The Art of Influence. I've given 1,000 speeches on it. So I look at everything through the eyes of influence. And I think if you walk into a room and there's 100 Democrats there and Biden and Obama both walk in and they start trying to pitch their ideas, Obama's going to win every single time. He has far more influence over the party than Joe Biden does.
Well, to a certain extent, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But, Steve, I've got to ask you, 3/4 of the President Biden's top 100 staff position in his White House are former Obama holdovers. Does that not speak largely about where the policy is and why people think that this is potentially the third term of Barack Obama?
Absolutely. And you took the words right out of my mouth. That was a University of Virginia study that was done shortly after Obama appointed everybody and put his staff together. And we're talking about people like, you know, Anthony Blinken, and we're talking about Susan Rice and many, 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 many more. And that's not coincidental. Look, Barack Obama was pulling the strings from the primaries leading up to the general election. He instructed everybody to drop out. He made them promises. He told Buttigieg he would get an appointment, blah, 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 blah. And do you think for 1 minute that Joe Biden sat down and said, God, we got to have Kamala Harris as vice president, when reportedly, according to a book, Jill Biden cursed her out under her breath or to other people after that that debate where she attacked her husband? You think it was Kamala Harris was Joe Biden's idea? Nothing is Joe Biden's idea. Let's get that straight right now. Barack Obama runs this party.
But Desi, is that necessarily a bad thing that Barack Obama, who can still put a sentence together, who knows about that there's no train tracks probably that goes across a broken bridge that's now in America?
At about 1:30, container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware in our train or by car.
Is that not necessarily a bad thing that Barack Obama is still being able to have so much pull? I mean, you couldn't say that about the Republicans right now with Trump.
I'm not even sure if that's really the way to phrase it. I feel like this is kind of it's a nebulous conversation. I don't know any party, you know, left or right, that doesn't still have influence from a prior appointment, a prior president. We could have a whole show on, you know, the former president's influence on the party, you know, leading up to this election before he was the presumed nominee. And so I think that it is very customary from season to season, from administration to administration, for there to be influence amongst a party. You know, I think even when Barack Obama came in, he was deeply groomed by the lion of the Senate, you know, the Kennedys. And so I think that happens irrespective of party. I think that there are deep, deep influences of existing political power that influence the way in which administrations go. And as far as appointments, you know, if you could, you could definitely see it as an ease of transition and, you know, keeping a good economy that, you know, we had to move into a new administration in terms of the ways that Barack Obama kept many appointments. He had both Republicans and Democrats in his administration.
Well, it's interesting, Desi. I'll agree with you, but I think probably Steve and possibly Chris might disagree with you, knowing that I don't think there was any influence. People would be welcome to know that the Bushes were involved in Trump's White House. Maybe Democrats have done a better job of being able to keep their policy agendas the same and congruent. How do you feel about this, Chris?
If only we could get George W. Bush on the line and find out what he thinks. That would be great, right? No, I'll tell you what. Here's my theory, and it's going to sound like a conspiracy theory. However, we all know what conspiracy theories become in 6 to 12 months, and that is historical fact. We know for a fact that Barack Obama, while he was president, Joe Biden was vice president, that he was warned by the FBI about all of Hunter's shenanigans. You know that Barack Obama wants a legacy, right? I imagine he set some people out to say, let's find out what's really going on here, because they were warned by the FBI. I think they found out that Joe was involved in a lot of illegal shenanigans. It makes him the perfect guy to choose to become president. I think the deal was this. Look, Joe, we know what you're up to. So here's the deal I'm going to make you. I'll let you sleep in the White House for 4 to 8 years. You'll be the president. I'll run the show. And he even came out and said it when they asked him, would you want to be president for a third term? He said, no, what I'd really like is to have somebody I could put a little thing in his ear and tell him what to do. I think that is exactly what is happening here.
Okay, but Steve, if we're going to talk about conspiracy theories, there was no more that was after Hillary Clinton of all the shenanigans that she got herself in. So I think it's interesting to find out that Joe Biden had even more than Hillary Clinton. Because if you were listening to Republicans, you would have thought that Hillary would have been the better one to go after as a puppet.
Right. No, absolutely. But he's absolutely right about Barack Obama. He went on Stephen Colbert shortly after the 2020 election and asked about a possible third term. And he said, well, of course, it's illegal, but I think if I could run, I would win. But he said, I do envision myself sitting in a basement somewhere with a walkie talkie, whatever kind of thing. And someone's in the Oval Office with an earpiece. And I'm calling the shots. That's exactly what he said. And he's such a narcissist. that you have to believe that that's exactly what is happening. Exactly what is happening.
Desi, I bet. Desi, you got to at least say this to the Republicans. Say, wait a minute, at least our guys don't come out and bash your current candidate like what we're seeing on the Republican line. I mean, you have never heard a Democrat go after Joe Biden, hardly at all. Even Bernie Sanders didn't even go after Joe Biden when he was running up against him. So why is it that Republicans are the first to turn on each other, yet Democrats never do?
Well, you know, a lot could be said about where Democrats' intentions are. I think that even if you're not fully immersed in any party politics, it has been very clear that Republicans have been much more focused on rabble-rousing, attention-getting, and they'll eat their own in order to maintain power. And as far as Barack Obama being a narcissist, I think that this is the first time I have ever heard that term being paired in the same sentence with the former president of the United States of America named Barack Obama.
Okay, so then Steve, I've got to throw you this last question of the block. Why do you think Barack Obama then made this trip to America's strongest ally rather than President Biden or at least a member of his administration? Do you think this has anything to do with actual policy?
Well, you know, they say it was a tour that he was making with the Obama Foundation, and it was a stop that he made. It was not unannounced. He didn't knock at the door, but it wasn't pre-planned, a big deal made about it. So, but look, I think policy was discussed. I think Mideast policy was discussed. I think we all know that Barack Obama had no use for Benjamin Netanyahu and for Israel. He was a fan of the Muslim Brotherhood. He kissed Iran's tushy and begged them to like us and begged the Ayatollah to like him, came up with the Iran deal. So Barack Obama's got a lot of interest and in going to see the Prime Minister of Great Britain at this time when, you know, we just had a policy change in the UN not too long ago by the administration regarding the ceasefire and Hamas. I don't think it's coincidental at all.
Okay, Steve, Chris, Desi, hold on, because we're going to continue that thought. Because it was only hours after the massacre in Moscow, did social media start wondering if this had anything to do with that visit by Obama with Prime Minister Sunak? Is this more because of the politics or the fact the situation reads like something from a movie plot? Maybe one from the Obama's production house. We're going to discuss after the break. Welcome back. I'm Skynell Hughes. Higher Ground Productions started and is run by Barack and Michelle Obama. It produces movies almost exclusively in partnership with the online streaming service Netflix. Now, most have centered around current pop culture and social issues, like Crip Camp, A Disability Revolution, 88 Twist, Scientist, and Worth. There are also several self-promoting movies, like Becoming, by Michelle Obama.
So little of who I am happened in those 8 years.
Or The Light We Carry, which is a conversation between Oprah Winfrey and Michelle Obama.
It's not in the book, but...
I wasn't going to tell that story. I didn't know I could tell that story.
Oh, okay.
But the most successful film yet is the apocalyptic film Leave the World Behind, starring A-level actors and actresses like Julia Roberts, Ethan Hawke, and Maharshi Ali.
I'm so sorry to bother you that this is our house.
Now, officially, the Obamas were just the production house and took on the project because they loved the book originally, but had no influence over the screenplay and did not even visit the set. However, if you've ever seen the film, and let me tell you, I actually suggest you do, you will be left with a very eerie feeling as there were multiple political statements and negative hits against right-wing conservatives and Tesla, which is also owned by Biden's fierce critic and owner of X, Elon Musk. Now, knowing a former president who still has a lot of influence in the current administration was even involved made anyone paying attention to the current headlines watch the film with a skeptical eye. But at least they don't try and hide their involvement with the film, unless this means if the Obamas have as much power as Trump and conservatives want you to believe, they are now brazen enough to reveal what their intentions for the United States plans might be. So let's bring back in our panel and continue the discussion. Political commentator Steve Malzberg, Chris Widener, founder of Red Referral Network, and Desi Robinson, health professor and doula. Desi, I got to start with you. What do you think about this, the Obama's production house and the films they are producing? Do you think they have any political influence or at least social influence in culture and society today?
I would say yes. I would say definitely yes. I think that there are citizens, there are folks who currently sit in political power who have a deep respect for the Obamas and their desire to bridge gaps, their desire to bring forth diversity, their desire to expand the rights of marginalized people. And so I think there is a great deal of at least social influence, but so does the current presumed nominee of the Republican Party. And this is a person who, prior to being in office, used media, social media, to have a tremendous influence, particularly with the fallacies of the birther movement. And while in office, out of office, and even just forged a deal with Digital World Acquisition, multi-billion dollar merge for his Truth Social site to expand his reach and power and to fill his coffers. He has the potential to make $2.6 billion with this merger that would help with his current campaign. And so,
or his legal bills, either one, Dusty. You got to say, it could go to either or at this stage.
That was next. I was going to say, the 91 charges that are lobbied against this former president and all of the financial fallout that he is going to have to navigate. So, you know, the short answer is yes, I think there will be influence, but I don't think that Michelle Obama's children's special, Mochi and Waffles, is the basis of any nefarious teachings that will be going on in the world through Netflix.
Interesting. Chris, are you concerned about movies which are produced by the Obamas, considering they still have power to influence policy? I mean, there's nothing illegal about it. Let me state this. There's nothing illegal about this. This is all in the court of public opinion.
No, every former president goes and makes tons and tons of money. That's what they do. And they've earned it, right? I guess, you know, they've gone out, they've achieved the highest office in the land, they've become the most powerful person in the world, and now they're going to get paid. The difference usually is that Democrats usually haven't done anything business-wise prior to becoming president. Then they go make $150 million in speaking fees like the Clintons did, or the $100 million deal with Netflix like Barack Obama and Michelle Obama have done. I don't have any problem with the fact that they went into the movie business. I think we ought to understand that, yes, they have an agenda. Yes, they have a bias, just like a conservative filmmaker would have as well. So I don't have any problem as long as they're out front on it. Good for you. It's capitalism at its finest. That being said, where I am really concerned is when you don't know what they're doing, which is what we talked about in the A block, and that is that Barack Obama's still running things. Let him go run a film company. Don't let him run our country anymore.
Mm. Well, speaking of politics, Steve, the Obama-Biden-Clinton fundraiser has now sold out of not only the $500,000 tickets, but the $250 million tickets, the $100,000 tickets. There's a projection of raising over $10 million for the Biden campaign presidency for 2024. Does this make you feel a little bit at odds, knowing that there's so much more money supporting a party? More money is probably being contributed to the Democrat Party and Joe Biden than what's going towards Donald Trump.
Yeah, of course it worries me. And of course, as was alluded to, Donald Trump's got some financial problems, and they're not going away anytime soon. And, you know, we know of everything's going on with the RNC and where that money's going with to pay his legal fees. But Donald Trump is going to be the man on page one and on live TV for weeks and weeks and weeks with his trial that comes up April 15th. And I don't think he'll want for publicity or TV time or radio time or media time. So I think that kind of offsets it. I do want to point out one thing, if I might, real quick. The movie, Leave the World Behind. First of all, God bless them. I wish somebody would hire me for $100 million for a gig that I have no experience in. I never did anything in movies or communications, you know, so hire me to make movies. And that's insane. And then the whole script was influenced by Obama. According to the director and the writer, the same person, the script was done, was given to Obama, and he critiqued it and made things he'd like to see in there. And there's a line in there that is racist as hell. And, you know, nobody bats an eye because in this country now, this kind of racism is accepted. And maybe it came from Obama, maybe not. But the black daughter says to her father that if the world falls apart, don't trust people easily, especially white people. I'm paraphrasing, but that's the gist of it.
Trust should not be doled out easily to anyone, especially white people.
I mean, that should be talked about because if this was Trump doing this or a Republican who saw the script and then that appeared, there'd be all kinds of questions.
Well, we could easily turn this entire show to talking about that movie because, like I said, if you haven't seen it, you need to see it, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on. But, Desi, we're talking about how much money, though, that is being brought in, not by Biden himself, but actually because he's bringing Hillary and Barack Obama in with him as well. How does that look to the blue-collar workers right now that are needing to show up at the polls for Joe Biden on Election Day? Is that bad optics?
Is it bad optics to have Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton on board? Is that your question?
Or selling million-dollar tickets to see all three of them on board. It's not like they're going to a free barbecue at the county fair. This is in order to see all three of them together, you actually have to pay at least $500,000.
Well, I think anybody who is concerned about money in politics would be just as concerned about that than, you know, as they are the former president selling $400 sneakers. I think that is what politics is looking like right now. And I think, you know, there are deep concerns that I have about the money in politics, but I think we just have to kind of sit back and wait and see where we go. I think, you know, the Koch brothers haven't had their say yet in the Republican campaign, so.
On that side. Well, okay, so let's go back to this idea of Barack Obama right now and how much influence you feel like that he does have within the administration. Steve, knowing now that he did go across the pond. He did talk to England. He's also talking to other foreign leaders. Do you think this could potentially be a violation for the Logan Act that could be brought up? Because that was something that they've brought up for Donald Trump multiple times when he has met with foreign leaders after being a president.
Well, I don't think there's any. I mean, I agree with you. It certainly could be, and it should be based on putting it in context, as you so gracefully did there, that Donald Trump gets questioned. So shouldn't Barack Obama get questioned for doing the same exact thing, maybe worse? But it won't be. Of course, that act has only been enforced twice. And I think the last time was 1852. So again, it happens to Donald Trump. People question it, bring it up with him. They charge him under laws that and statutes that have never been used before. So he's the exception to the rule. But no, nobody's going to, besides you and people like us who question it, it's not going to become an issue at all.
Well, we've talked about Brock, but we're missing a really big element of all of this, which is Michelle. Chris, I got to ask you, do you think that it does any help right now, the fact that Michelle Obama said she's not running for president, she's not going to step in? How much credibility do you put into that statement? Do you think we have not seen Michelle Obama on a ballot yet, or will that be something in the future?
I don't think she's going to run. I can't see her running. She's got a great life. I mean, it's kind of really horrible. I've known a lot of politicians. I have a billionaire friend of mine who I have begged. I've given him the "your country needs you" speech. And he's like, why would I do that? They're going to dig up every girl I dated in college. I can't go sit on my 250-foot yacht every weekend. Like, why would I sit on a telephone raising money every single day for 4 hours a day? Not going to do it. Our problem is we have the willing and not the able. We need to get the able to become willing. And I don't think Michelle Obama wants anything to do with it. Why would you put yourself through that when you can just tell the other guy what to do, which is what's happening? I think we've kind of concluded it at this point. Why would she put herself through that ringer and have to read all the horrible things you're going to say about her? I don't see it happening at all.
Desi, I want to give you the last word on that. Do you think that you'll ever see, considering right now Barack Obama, that Joe Biden's the most popular president ever elected, do you think Michelle might try to top that?
I think that Michelle Obama will top that as a private citizen. I don't think she has any desire to run for public office. I would agree. I think that she's enjoying her life. I think that her and her family are doing really amazing things in terms of their media ventures. given that we're doing film recommendations, I would definitely recommend Rustin for folks to see. That's another Obama-produced film about Bayard Rustin and the amazing work that he has done throughout the civil rights movement. I don't think the Logan Act is going to be enacted. I think the difference is that the Trump family was really looking to profit from their relationships that they were forging with foreign bodies. But I think that we need to, I would agree, we need the able to be running.
Desi, you just, once again, you always ditch me. Every time I have you on, that last 30 seconds, you bring up something that I know Steve is just itching to respond on. But we're going to have to save that for another show. I want to thank all of you, Steve Malzberg, Chris, and Desi, for joining us and giving us your insight into the current state of the political race and the Obama family. I'm Scott L. Hughes, and this has been your 360 View. Thanks for watching.